You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
We will crisscross out of NFL, out of some baseball we were talking about, and into a conversation with Jay Will. That we like. I know you filling in for Keith today. You almost felt like you had to take his role of the guy that's the habitual line stepper, willing to say anything, throw some hot takes out there.
I just love being habitual line stepper with Jay Will because I'd be trying to get him to come.
The horrified look on his face though when you said what you said about Bill Belichick.
I'll be trying to welcome him over to the dark side, man. He'll put a toe over there, but he won't go all in. I'm trying to get him to go full Tropic Thunder. I want him to go full Tropic Thunder with me.
Jay, I'm not ready to be in that movie yet, Bart. No, I'm not ready to be in that baseball.
He's not ready to be in. Listen, before we get started, I don't know why I'm just wandering on social media looking at cars, and I come across my midlife crisis car, which is the car I had in my early 20s, which is the 84 Firebird, which I think is probably older than you are. But I have to ask you, you've got to have, when you hit your midlife crisis, you've got to have that car where you're like, I'm going back in time, and that's the car I need to have when I hit my midlife crisis. Do you have one in mind? Like, you know already, once I get old, this is the car I need to have in my driveway to feel good about things.
Don't judge me. The Aston Martin DB9.
Oh, see, that says a James lot Bond about though. You, bro. That says a
no,
lot
it's
about
just,
you.
It, it's, look, guys, I want to be the Black James Brown.
No, that's
I'm
what I was going to say.
To get the role.
I like that, though.
He's so sophisticated. Screw Idris Elba. So I want Jay Weezy up in that role.
So Duke. It really is. He's so buttoned up. So
sophisticated.
Now, if anybody I can see, I can see Jay Will doing that thing, shaking that stuff.
Will the camera in his bow tie, taking spy pics.
Oh, God. Bart,
now we know. Now we know what album cover we have to do. We have to definitely do a James Bond thing now. But hey, all right, let's not waste any time on this because you saw it, I saw it. I know you talked about it this morning as well. And you actually have been talking about this for a while. A report from Woj and also Tim McMahon about what's happening in Houston. You and I have both been kicking this around. And it seems pretty obvious with the hires that they made to replace an older coach in Mike D'Antoni, an experienced GM in Daryl Morey. And they bring in a couple of people now that don't have nearly the experience at all. And it just screams, hey, we're going to do a reset here, but we're going to act like we're not. It does feel that way. And now the report's saying that both James Harden and Russell Westbrook are concerned about the direction of the franchise and if they're going to still be a contender. If you could put a number on it. And it doesn't have to be, I can't imagine both guys would go, but give me a 1 to 10. One of those guys will be gone before we start the season on December 22nd.
8.5.
Wow, that's pretty high.
I just, you know, if you're James, at 31 years old, and how long can your championship window stay open, and how long are you going to trust that in the hands of a first-year coach? And I know that Stephen Silas is a really good coach. I've heard incredible stories about him. But still, we all know this. Like, Bart Allen, like, that first year in the job, it takes a while to get your sea legs. So are you going to trust that with a new GM and a new first-year head coach at that stage of your career in the West? And I've been saying this for a while. Like, from James Harden, I appreciate you, Houston. I've given you everything I can do. We were very close multiple times. But I'm trying to get out to the East Coast. Because I see the East Coast, and it's wide open. I'm watching the Miami Heat make the World Championship game. Like, and I know if I could partner up with somebody else and not have to go through that grind of Western Conference, like, my chances are wide open.
Let me put this phrase out to you and tell me what you think. Ready? Madison Square Harden.
New York City. James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
Both of them. That would be insane.
See, but that's what I think.
I don't think we can handle that, but I'll take one of them. Everybody knows I'm not really the biggest James Harden fan, but I am a fan of guys who can ball. And right now, the Knicks really don't have that. So, and they've got tons of cap space and a lot of willingness.
So Jay Reason, just to be clear, right? We think that if Harden is going to go anywhere, he's going to go probably to Philadelphia, and the byproduct of that may be the fact that, you know, you look at Russell, he's going to say, "Well, I don't want to be here. This is a full on rebuild. So let's go somewhere." So are we talking 3-team trade? Being able to know that the Knicks can absorb, you know, guys' contracts that may have like a big contract. Are we talking 3-team trade? Maybe with Houston, Philadelphia, and the Knicks, and maybe it's multiple players, not just one going to the Knicks?
Oh, I think it'll be multiple players. I think if I'm Houston, I'm trying to get as many assets and future picks as possible, right? And also, if I'm Houston, and Allen, tell me if I'm wrong here, I'm trying to get, you know, the reason why I think the Knicks make an intriguing third team trade is that they have a lot of players with expiring contracts. So if you're Houston, if you're trying to maybe potentially do a trade with, you know, Philadelphia for Ben Simmons and trying to deal Russell Westbrook to the Knicks for trades, and, you know, assets are coming off your books, and you can surround, you have money to go into the market to get, you know, free agents in 2021, surround them with, you know, with Ben Simmons, if you're able to pull that off, like that seems like a pretty viable position in the marketplace to take.
There's no doubt in my mind, like, and I know you brought that up in the past, that I would think if you're Houston, you find yourself a younger star, and then you use the cap space and you use your rebuild to kind of reboot the team and build it around. And I do think that's your best fit when it comes to Harden. It would be something like that. He and Embiid could be a real dynamic duo in a pick and roll, right? I mean, you have to get some shooters over there, but they could be really dangerous together. And if I'm Harden, I want to get out of the West. Like, get me in the East. It's a little bit easier over here. I'd like to get out of there. All right, so if I can't get Madison Square Harden, what about the other dream, which you and I have also kicked around, which would be what an amazing Christmas Day game would be if it was Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook at the Garden to start the season, and these two guys in the same city. I mean, that's, you talk about some sizzle and some fireworks. The league could certainly welcome something like that.
This is why I think Russ to New York makes sense. Like, every time I see Russ is like Tribeca Film Festival. Russ is like Fashion Week in New York City. Where I see Russ living on Madison Ave, like in the sky. Like, I just feel him being in the city. And Alan, you and I both know this, but we're dying to have a player that wants to be here, that wants to be that guy in New York City. Who better, and what better persona to own that than Russell Westbrook and say, this is whom I want to build, and this is the dynasty I want to lead.
Man, do they have enough, though, on the Knicks side of things to satisfy Houston? Or because the contract's so big that you'd be doing them a favor, which means they really can't expect to get a lot for a guy like Russ?
I also look at, I haven't played every scenario out of my mind. I know we're, you know, making this up on the fly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but they do have a lot of expiring contracts. You do have to give them a lot. But at the same time, you have to start somewhere if you're the Knicks organization. Unless everybody's just patient to saying we're going to do it the next four or five drafts.
And the fact that it can be a 3-team trade, then you can be able to match it up better knowing that it's a third team involved. I can see Russell coming down the hallway with his nipples out, the cameras on, the sun shining. You know what I'm saying? I tell you, it'd be right on cue. But what I really want to ask you is, is he a big enough star like Stoudemire to attract other stars to come after him to say, hey, you know what? I'll go team up with Russ. I got a great opportunity, especially the guys from the West that want their way out. You know what I mean? I look at Jonathan Mitchell, I still think that, you know, he may want to be out of there as well. Devin Booker may not, if, you know, CP3 goes there, that might be enough to keep him there. But is Russell Westbrook the type of star that other stars want to play with, or young stars that may look up to him?
Well, I mean, that's a legit question. I mean, I think OKC thought about that for a long time too before they made this move. I love Russell, but I mean, I think it takes the right kind of fit, like a Bradley Beal, somebody that can play off the ball, somebody whose team is conducive that would allow Russ to dominate the ball the way Russ likes to dominate the ball.
Who hogs more, John Wall or Russell Westbrook?
Damn.
Is it out of sight, out of mind? I'm not sure. I haven't seen John Wall for a while.
I mean, right? I've totally forgotten that he's going to even be in the league still, and he still had a bunch of money left on that contract as well. You know what, Jay, Bart brought up this one, so I also want to run this by you, too. And This one doesn't surprise me, but it's the other rumor that's out there. I think it's Brian Windhorst who has this, and that's the Suns and the Thunder now in active conversations about Chris Paul. What kind of fit is that for him? And is this really just about that's close to L.A.? And that's really the main thing for him is getting as close to L.A. as possible because that's where the family is, and so the move east wasn't really going to happen.
I mean, look, I would assume that a year going back and forth with your family, being in OKC, while you're going through a pandemic, while your home is out in L.A., that has to be very sound, right? So, yes, I am trying to be as close to my family as possible. Would I love the scenario if it ended up being with Clippers? I think CP3 would enjoy that, considering that Doc is now with Philly. Ty Lue, head coach of the Clipper organization, and Steve Ballmer, there's new ownership instead of Donald Sterling. But if you can't pull off, that doesn't make sense economically, a trade value perspective for Sam Presti and company. If a viable option is to play with Devin Booker, and Alan, you know this about their facilities out there in Phoenix, man. They've revived people in their career, right? Like Grant Hill, I remember him raving about that organization from a medical perspective and a training perspective. Opened up a whole new facility. I think they got like, you know, 20 plus million for a new facility. So, If that is by default ends up what happened, you're not mad about people with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. Not only where you would be, but I mean, Phoenix is not a bad place to live and to live to be.
Would you be trying to get a ring at this point if you were him? Like, where would you be mentally at the age he's at? And obviously he's had, you know, that's the biggest knock on him is he never can get to the mountaintop, even if, you know, even playing for a championship, it just doesn't happen for him. Would you be trying to chase that ring, or would you feel like quality of life is the one that matters? And, if I'm not going to win one, I'm just not going to win one.
Me personally, I'm always going to chase after.
Mm-hmm.
And Bart and I were talking about this. Can you just imagine if it was able to be pulled off that CP3 ended up to be a Clipper again? You go back to the organization that you were dying to bring a championship to in the first place. People were destroying him about Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, his leadership, all these different things. And there's nothing better to be loved than seeing brothers fight. And that's what CP3 and LeBron James are. If there's a person that can understand from a nuanced perspective how to strategize or game plan for LeBron James, it would probably be CP3 along with Ty Lue. And then now you have a closer, you have an alpha male that can help lead and take the pressure off of Kawhi and PG. Now, what you have to give up for that, I'm not sure, but that would be one hell of a scenario to see both being in L.A.
Yeah. Are you excited about the start of the basketball season? And is this the one year where basketball is just going to take over the headlines? There's going to be so many transactions. You got the draft coming up. You got movement. And how active do you expect the like free agency to be? Or do you expect guys to kind of stay put?
So, Bart, I have a variety of feelings on this. Am I excited? Not really. I just had a month off, barely. I'm tired as hell. But I also
we're gonna get low management for you too, Jay Weezy.
I'm taking the Kawhi Leonard with ESPN this year. They better know what's coming.
Oh no!
But all I'm gonna say is you have the draft of 18th, you have free agency starting on the 20th, and then you have a month later. You're pretty much starting NBA season. So, look, with everything happening with the NFL, like this is a major opportunity once again for the NBA to be front and center. And you're gonna have a lot of movement. I mean, I'm stoked to see like LeBron James come back good AD. What's going to happen with the Clippers? How's that new team going to look? What's going to happen with the Brooklyn Nets? The Kyrie and KD show are about to start. You know, are they going to trade to them with you? What's going to happen in East? Is Giannis going to end up getting somebody else? John Wall, Bradley Beal come back. There is Miami. They do it again outside of the bubble this time, which I thought the bubble was a little conducive for them to get the world championship. So, and what's going to happen with COVID, to be real with you? Now the NBA is faced with a lot of things, mm-hmm. tough decisions that the NFL has had to make, and it's been challenging for them because, you know, in the NBA, one or two guys catch it, man. Those could be your star guys. The draft is different than your team.
Jay, I want to get into something that Bart and you guys talked about this morning on the show, but there is a little more NBA I did want to get into with you. And that just involves the movement that some are expecting. Like Zach Lowe thinks trade wise, it's going to get crazy. Now I know you know a lot of people, you talked to a lot of people, so you have an idea. And I know you got to protect some of your sources, so I'm not going to tell you, you know, predict stuff. But I do want you at least feed me, because it's been a while, right? Like, do you, from what you know or what you understand, is Zach Lowe on point? Like, is this thing, once they say release the hounds, like, is this thing going to be crazy for a couple of days where it's just going to be wild movement and trades and everything? Or do you feel like there's not enough time to have that much movement and it's probably going to be quiet?
I think there's going to be a lot of scenarios posed. I think there's going to be a lot. Now, whether teams accept them or not, that's going to be different, whether they feel like they get a return on their value. But there are going to be a lot of things that are going to be proposed to say, hey, do you want this? Who wants to bite? I'm not sure people are going to bite, Alan, but I know there's going to be a lot of proposals. A ton. And they're going to be intriguing prospects.
Can we get Oladipo out here to New York? I mean, like where does guys like Oladipo end up? And like, you know, I know we're talking about CP3, and if CP3 is still about that championship life, you know, in Houston, you know, or even if you think about Harden, or, you know, so many different moves that happen. You know, we were talking earlier about maybe Harden maybe wanting to go up to Milwaukee and play with Giannis because they have so many assets that they can give, you know, back, you know, to Houston.
It's there. I mean, Beal definitely wants to get out of Indiana. I would say this too. Do not sleep on Bradley Beal to move somewhere.
Yeah, that just feels like Brooklyn.
Is it because your sources say that he hates John Wall? You can tell. Let's be honest.
My sources can neither confirm nor deny that.
Oh, you're the worst. All right, so let's get to this part. So Bart is in for Keyshawn this morning on your show.
Bart, wait, are you coming back tomorrow?
I don't know, man. Is he out to did he do some blood plasma spinning for his ankle, or is he coming back? I don't know.
We found out it was an in-depth pinky toe injury, so he's out. He's on IR for at least a week.
Turf toe?
Tell him to put some tussin on it, man. Come on, man. That's not the same dude that I remember going to sleep with his butt up in the air with his nose bleeding after he going across the middle.
Hey, you know phrasing!
That guy got up. This guy seems like he, at an older age, he's going to stay down there and take it.
Jay, let's be honest. We're NBA guys. We're basketball guys. Aren't football guys a little different? Like, they're a little different. Like, the stuff they talk about, the stuff they say, like, it's like, you guys are different.
My receivers are definitely different, I can tell you that.
That's I thought he was in a Luke video when he got knocked out on Monday Night Football with his butt up in the air like that, man. Like, tuck your butt in, man.
Okay. All right, so I don't even know where to transition for that other than to say, speaking of football, Bart.
I mean, Alan, it's been at the park.
Now, Key's got his butt up in the air. Bart's been in a hotel for too long, I think, this week.
That's true. That's true.
There's no doubt about
that. I'm in the paddock room, man. Jay Will, you know that little room they have here for the radio? That's where they put me, man. I'm in a closet.
You need a conjugal in the worst kind of way. You really do. You really do. You need a conjugal. Worst kind of way. So anyways, Bart is going in on Bill Belichick this morning. And, you know, we heard Bill Belichick kind of talking about his decision to leave the Jets as one of the greatest moments of his career and blah, 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 whatever. and then so Bart's going after Bill about how basically he should just quit. He should just, you know, like, walk away. That this is his last year and he should move on. And we've talked about, like, you're leaving, like, basically a scorched earth now to Josh McDaniels. Like, okay, now that we're not going to be able to win for a while, let me step aside and let you take all these L's now while you try to rebuild. Like, what is your reaction? And I'll tell you what, Bart said, what did I say that's wrong? I don't know if what he said was wrong, but I can't see Belichick just walking away with the franchise in this condition unless he's never going to coach again.
Well, I let Bart talk about it for the first 2 hours of the show because I was curious to see how he kept building the narrative. And it became, you know how Bart's story tells Alan? It becomes a more and more intriguing story by the second, right? So then we get to 8 o'clock hour, like our biggest hour. I'm like, Bart, the only problem I have with it is if you're Bill Belichick, the one thing I think Bart forgot about was just this dude has a massive ego. For anybody that's won as many Super Bowls as him, a massive ego. And the one thing I will say about people that have strong egos, it's hard for them just to walk away, even if optically it seems like they're quitting. Like, he's not a quitter. Like, he's a guy that likes to dig his fingers into the dirt and get into the trenches. So realistically, I don't know. I know they don't have a lot of cap space coming up. Now, if they can make some moves, I would like to think that Bill Belichick would be the person to say, hey, look, we got the chips, write it. We had a couple of free agents that we were able to sign. Maybe I'll give you one more year, Josh, and this is yours. I'm gone. I want to get the chip going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And then you take it, go where you want to go from there, and then I come to the Giants or I go anywhere else. But I can't imagine him leaving that team in the state of perpetual hell that they're in right now. When I see them celebrate the way they did after beating the Jets, I'm concerned about the Patriots, okay? I'm like, whoa, it's the Jets, guys.
But Jay Weezy, don't just slip the Giants thing in there.
I can't see anybody. I lost you, Alan. But Jay Weezy, here's the issue. Right? I know you say they don't have cap space. They're going to have more cap space next year than almost anybody in the NFL. So he's not going to leave them with scorched earth. And then if you want Josh McDaniels to be able, listen, they won three games. They're going to get Trump. They're going to get the brakes beat off of them next week against the Ravens, right? So then they're going to be picking top five. And now you're going to let Josh McDaniels, who won and went to a playoff game and won a playoff game with Tim Tebow, you're going to give him the opportunity to potentially get Trey Lance or Justin Fields or Zach Wilson or Mac Jones. You don't think that's leaving the cupboard bare? That's going to give Josh McDaniels the opportunity to pick his quarterback and leave him with a bunch of cash, and he can ride off into New York, which is a much better place to live in New York than live out there in Boston. Anyway, we know that already.
Stay hands off and let Joe Judge run the team without being like the helicopter mom?
No, but he can just be the general manager, or he can be the president of operations.
The general manager you just said that should fire himself from the Patriots job. The guy who hasn't drafted a Pro Bowler in 5 years.
But I do believe that if he put 100% of his energy towards being a general manager, then he can be good at it because he would pay more attention. It's hard to be the head coach and a general manager. We saw that with Bill O'Brien. We saw that with the other people because you're too close to the situation. You're too invested because you're too close to the situation. But when you're the general manager, you're a little bit removed back from it. He's 68 years old, guys. How much longer do we expect him to be going through the grind? He's not Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll is a guy that's always happy and energetic. This dude is like Pleasantville. He's a lack of color.
You know this stuff is addictive. You know this is the kind of stuff that keeps people alive, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like somebody just going to a cushy GM perspective role, like that may not be the thing that gets his blood boiling. I can't see him firing himself.
But last I checked, the tuna's still alive. He did the same damn thing, and that's his mentor. You either, like I said before, you either die the hero or you live, or you stay around long enough to see yourself become the villain. And he's starting to become the villain because you ran Tom out of town. You yelled at Tom. And now you're the guy that sent them out. You're like, you know what? Y'all want it? Y'all can have this. I'm out. I'm going to the Giants. I'm going to be on Broadway on my off days. Holler at me later.
Well, if that comes to fruition, that'd be a hell of a story.
My God, wouldn't it, though? Especially after the last year's story, which is Tom leaving, and then if Bill leaves. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'd feel really bad for my friends up in Boston. I'd feel so bad for them. I really would. It's a shame. Sad.
What a shame. All right, man. I'm gonna call Russell and see if I can get one of them areola shirts.
I can't wait to have Jay on after the trade is done. We're gonna have so much fun with this because Jay called it from the very beginning. Oh man, good to talk to you. Take care.
All right, guys.
We do have other things to get to on our show, including audio files.
The audio file.
All right, so Bart, we were just talking about this with Jay Will at the very end because you were making a big deal about this on the show this morning when you were on with KJZ, and that involves Bill Belichick. And I referenced him talking on his weekly show on WEEI about his departure from the Jets, which if you're a Jets fan, you know all about the napkin and the, resign as HC of the NYJ. No one has that napkin, right? Like, have you ever heard a story about the napkin? Like, is that thing gone or a piece of paper, whatever it was?
And you know, that thing oxidized unless they laminated that quick.
Like, how did you, like, somebody must have thrown it out because they were mad, but now you think about it, what that would be worth right now? A stupid napkin. It's like Garrett Cole's sign. Why don't you just fake it and, like, make one? Just say, this is the napkin. This is the one.
This is how it ages. No, for real, I'm serious.
I believe Garrett Cole.
It's oxidation.
Yeah. Anyways, if you're a Jets fan, this is only going to make you hate Bill even more. As he talks about how leaving the Jets was one of the best moments of his career.
One of the, not only most defining, but one of the great moments of my career. And that combined with Robert giving me the opportunity to come here, I mean, I couldn't have asked for anything more. So it's just, that wasn't a good situation for me, and I didn't want to be part of it, so I wasn't. But the other half of that was Robert giving me the opportunity to come here and trading. I mean, he gave up, quite a bit to get me to come here. That was a big trade. And so I'm very thankful that it worked out.
Yeah, the first round pick.
Yeah, so he had buyer's remorse, right? Because, he accepted the job and then he deceived us. And now he continues to just, I don't know who I'll hate worse, him or Peyton Manning. Because Peyton Manning only went back to school, but then he gave us Adam Gase.
Peyton Manning definitely
Peyton's
had,
up there.
Like, if
Peyton's
you had to power
there.
Rank people that destroyed the Jets, like, people that have single-handedly just, like, have done a lot of damage to this franchise, I would probably say that Peyton Manning would have to be number one. Wouldn't you say?
Peyton Manning, Bill, and then McCagnan, because I cannot believe
that he did not take
Mahomes because
he had... Who are you missing? Who should be third? Come on now, Bart. What is the first memory of my sports fandom where I actually felt hatred as a child?
Oh, when they wet the fill up and all that stuff, the little mud bowl.
Yeah, who would that be?
Was that Shula?
Yeah, that'd be Don Shula.
Yeah, Don Shula.
Rest in peace.
Bill's trying to pass. Bill's trying to pass Shula.
Yeah. Don Shula is number three because he stole a championship. He took the ring right off my finger.
Yeah,
like this is the first time I actually was angry. How could they play on that field? How could how could the league allow that?
Yep.
Because it was Don Shula. That's why.
God rest his soul.
Destroyed that.
But his stakes was overrated.
Anyways, that's Bill Belichick. And look, I understand what he's saying. Best moments of his career because what it turned into. I don't know if that's exactly a shot at the Jets as much as it is.
No,
but you understand, look what it turned into. All right, fine. So, you say Bill Belichick should leave after this season. That you could see it happening. This could be his final year. Mike Tannenbaum, how about this? This is from New York Game Day. Now, this is from Sunday or a couple of Sundays ago, right, on our Sunday show, New York Game Day.
Okay.
Mike Tannenbaum, Mike T, talking about where Bill Belichick could end up. Listen to this.
I have speculated for a long time that Coach Belichick was going to end his career with Washington because that's where he's from. His dad, who he revered, coached and scouted at Navy for over 50 years. There's the Steve Belichick football library at the Naval Academy. So I could see it happening one day. I could see it happening in the NFC East, but I always thought if Coach Belichick, and it is a big if, obviously, but if he ever did it, I always thought he would go back to that area of the country.
Now, Bart, I'll say
call
this.
Call him crazy. Say he doesn't know what he's talking about. Everybody wants to come at this guy.
That's an interesting one, but I don't know if that's a franchise that he would work for and an owner that he would want to work for, right?
Exactly.
But I'll tell you the one, and Jay kind of slid it. He just said it and, like, dropped it and didn't really get back to it. And I was like, whoa, you can't just say the Giants. And the Giants have always been that team that sort of lingered around Bill Belichick. And will he ever, when it's all said and done,
that's
could you see him back with that franchise where it kind of all began for him? So, listen, now we don't have the audio of it, but I'm going to read for you. Joe Judge, this is a while back. He did an interview with Mike Tirico. And he said this about what he knew about Bill Belichick and his feelings for the Giants. He said this, quote, "You could tell there was a different feeling talking about the Giants for him than other conversations about other teams and other topics along the way." He said he was very complimentary of the fan base, the passion of the city. He loved this town with Coach Parcells and the great players they had back then. He had a great relationship with the ownership as well. So when we talked through the entire process, now this is about Joe Judge being hired, he said everything was extremely positive, and you could kind of tell he had more than just memories here. A lot of connections and relationships that meant a lot to him. So you wonder if he does move on. I'm not going with Washington. I think the Giants make a lot of sense, especially because Joe Judge is there, and he's already got a relationship there, but also because it means so much to him. You agree?
Alan, this is exactly what I said this morning on the show, and people looked at me like I was crazy. They threw the slings and arrows, you know what I mean? But that's okay. I'm just going to take those slings and arrows
because I think I just did
that I'm on to something.
But
you know what I'm saying? Well, you gave me the opportunity to say that's exactly what the hell I said.
Right.
Because, listen, it's less stress to be a general manager than it is to be anything else. We know that you can go on your own schedule. You can work remotely, and you don't have to deal with the daily rigors and the daily grind of being a head coach. You know, and you can come back and you can still make sure that somebody's good because you may not believe that he's good with Dave Gettleman at the helm. And you may say, you know what? I know what this kid needs. I know what he's trying to get accomplished. Guess what? Because I help mold the way he sees the game. So let me come over here and get everything right and bring some cachet back to this once proud organization and help get it back to prominence. And then I'm going to go fishing for the rest of my life. I'm going to do this for like 5 years. And I'm going to go fishing.
Kind of interesting. Kind of interesting.
Not just old. I'm old as hell.
Just keep an eye on that. No
I'm
doubt.
Eating Subway, so I'm TikTok.
About that. All right. And don't be a hater. This is another interesting headline out of the NFL that we haven't gotten to, and I really want to get your take on it. Adam Schefter, this is from NFL Live, as he's reporting how the owners have approved expanded playoff, but also new minority hiring incentives.
The NFL owners approved a new playoff plan if necessary, if more games have to be canceled in the second half of the season. We're coming up to a time here where some teams are done with their buys, and the league doesn't have the scheduling flexibility that it did have in, say, September. And so under the new plan, there will be 8 teams in each conference that go to the playoffs. 2 more teams were added. If games had to be canceled and they had to change up the format, that's one bit of news from the owners' virtual call today. The other is that the owners approved a plan that any team that develops minority coaching candidates or a minority general manager candidate and has that candidate hired by another team will be awarded with back-to-back compensatory third-round draft picks.
How about that? You're rewarded for developing a minority candidate who gets hired by another team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good call, but, you know, it's not going to be as many compensatory picks as you would think, because you say, oh, well, it's a lot of black minorities in the league, but some of those guys are already proven commodities, whether it's Leslie Frazier, whether it's Todd Bowles. I mean, do you give Tampa a third-round draft pick for developing Todd Bowles? No, Todd Bowles is already head coach. So I think it's a start, and I think it's a lot better than putting the pressure on having to hire a coach, you know, immediately to get those compensations, because then you start looking at, you know, is the African-American being used as a lame duck? And nobody wants a job strictly because of the color of their skin. They just want an opportunity and don't want the color of their skin to be something that holds them back and prevent them from getting a job. But what we're talking about is a developmental type of program where you coming in, you giving guys opportunity to come in as grad assistants. They'll come in fresh off the field. You look at a guy like Hines Ward, that's a wide receivers coach with the Jets. He started his coaching career with them. If he continues to get better, Deuce McAllister, guys like that. I don't think it's for the Todd Bowles or the former.
You know, no. I don't think coaches. It's. I think I get it.
But you know they'll try. Guys. You know they'll try that loophole. Though, I'm telling you. Well, teams are like, hold on, with Todd Bowles left, I want my third.
I get it, but am I wrong to say this though? It kind of feels sad that it's come to that.
Yeah.
Where it's almost like we have to give you draft pick. Like we have to give you something to want to develop a candidate. Like you know. Like, shouldn't it just why does there have to be an incentive for this? Like, that's what we do. We've got a guy, he's pretty smart. We want to teach him the way, and maybe one day he'll run our organization. That just should be the way to do it. Instead of now, we're going to do it because I want to get these draft picks, so let's turn this guy into something.
Yeah, and it should be for everybody. It should be for men, women. It should be for all minorities. It should be equal opportunity. But, you know, that's just the way it is. Like, you know what I mean? We just want to have access to opportunities, and this is one way to incentivize, but that's kind of where we are, you know. Yeah. Because you know a lot of times owners want people
a certain
that,
look.
Yeah, that,
I know
yeah,
what you're
exactly.
Gonna say. There's certain them. Franchises that feel like they have to have a certain look out in front in certain
I've always been told that greatness comes in every shape and size.
I agree.
So you can't look at somebody from the exterior and think what they have inside and what they're capable of doing. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. That's why sometimes you look on, even on our platforms, you don't see a lot of overweight players being able to have opportunities. You don't see a lot of offensive linemen getting head coaching jobs. You don't see a lot of centers, you know, in basketball getting head coaching jobs, right? Because they just always assume with the false narrative that the point guards and the quarterbacks are the ones that can think
Patrick
the game.
Ewing always said that about centers too, big men. Yeah, he always said that
exactly.
the perception is we're just big dumb guys. But
exactly.
You know, he's trying to break that mold certainly as well. It's amazing. We won't hire a 300-pound offensive lineman because we think that might look weird on a podium, but we'll hire a guy with crazy eyes. Or we'll hire a guy with a weird mustache and an oversized
and a big suit.
That's cool though. We're okay. Jim Tom Sewell, the guy who farts at the podium. We're gonna hire that guy though.
That was never
we worry
confirmed.
About what this other guy
confirmed.
Looks like. Come on, man.
That was never confirmed.
All right, last but not least, Steve Cohen yesterday introduced as the owner of the Mets, and Mets fans were excited. He said all the right things. He checked all the boxes. He was so relatable. It was refreshing. But there was one, I think, slip up. One. It's when he talked about his goal for winning a World Series.
Only one team wins the World Series every year, right? So that's a pretty high bar. But if I don't win a World Series in the next 3 to 5 years,
yikes.
You know, I'd like to make it sooner. then obviously, I would consider that slightly disappointing.
Slightly disappointing. All right.
That's what's up.
He softens it up at the end there, but is this going to come back to haunt him?
I don't think so. I think that puts pressure, that puts everybody on notice, and it raises the expectations. It started with Stroman being able to take the qualifying offer. Now, if they go out and get Trevor Bauer, go get Springer, or they spend a little of that money, because he does have a lot of players that are homegrown and developed. Now it's time to go out and get the hired assassins. You got Cespedes out of the building. We were stuck with Cano, but let's see what we can go out and get and see, like, if this team is three or four players away and you continue to build your farm system. But being able to build around analytics and build around guys that are all bought into the way that they want to win. It's the same thing that happened with the Dodgers. The Dodgers got the new ownership group. It took them about 5 years, right? They had a bunch of disappointing seasons where they got to the postseason. They did well, but they just couldn't get over the hump. They got over the hump this year, and it took about 5 years. Maybe the Mets can be in the same situation or win earlier.
Actually, it took them 8 years, my man. It took them 8 years. Well, yeah, no, that's all right. It took them 8 years from the ownership change to win a championship. Didn't mean it took them 8 years to get to a World Series, though.
First year don't count. Yeah, how long did it take them to get a World Series?
Yeah, no, they were competing for championships, but to actually win it, it did take eight. Hey, look, I welcome it because I think this guy gets it, and it'll be very fascinating to see what he can do with this team and what it does to baseball, not just in the league, but to me, what it does to baseball here in New York.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
And we're going a little Maction tonight, baby. And we got a couple of good ones here. So, Bart, here's what we're going to do. Because I think the Mac is a lot of fun to play. Last week, there were a couple of blowouts, and they were easy to predict, but they made the endings fun because there was one, I think it was the Buffalo, Buffalo Northern Illinois
game. They played yesterday, right?
It came pretty close. Yeah. Believe it or not, Tuesday night. But last night. Week, Buffalo Northern Illinois was it got dicey for a minute, but we still ended up covering. So that's one of the games. Northern Illinois, we're gonna go back to the well because I just feel like Northern Illinois is gonna get blown out again. Central Michigan is at Northern Illinois, and I'm Central Michigan is actually, even though they're home. I mean, I'm sorry, even though they're on the road, they are favored by 7.5. I'm gonna take it. So Central Mich, all right, we're going with the Compass Schools today, by the way, using the Compass. So Central Michigan, and that's the one game. Meanwhile, Kobe Lewis, their running back, beast. Anybody named Kobe, you got to believe in him.
Yeah, he's probably from Detroit.
So, yeah. So the other game is a big game in the West Division. It's wide open in the MAC, baby. Yeah, you don't know who's going to win. And this is a big game. Western Michigan at home. They are playing Toledo. And this is an 8 o'clock game on ESPN, by the way. So you can watch some action tonight if you want to.
Western Michigan is always pretty good. That's where that guy Plack came from, right?
They are a tough team. So I'm going Western Michigan.
Mm, good call.
And I'm taking I'm giving the 2.5 points. It's 2.5, I mean, please.
It's a pick.
So I'm going there. Toledo ain't coming into my building and win. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're out. Man.
That's a big game in the division. Western Michigan wants to hold. And so that's where we're going. So we're going the directional. We're going the Compass Schools. Western Michigan, 2.5. Central Michigan, given 7.5. Done. Time for some action. And that's basically it for our show today. I appreciate all the responses to my Firebird tweet because I love the 84 Firebird. Bart's going to get me for my 50th birthday. He's the man.
Yeah, we're going to try.
Can't wait for that. Black, by the way.
Black details. Triple black.
And people are like talking about, oh, now I know what kind of kid you were if you had an 84 Firebird.
Yeah, man.
How dare you?
Probably had a mullet. You had a strong mullet.
I might have had a mullet.
On fire.
I might have had a base cannon. Might have had a lot of things. But I don't have that car anymore. I
walk around the moose knuckle shorts.
I need you back tomorrow, Bart. Great job. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.